Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, actor-writer Paul Vado talks about being recognized from a Del Taco commercial.
And the valet opens the door, and I see this look on his face, and he sees me. And then he calls the other guy. He goes, "It's Luisito, it's Luisito." So my brother gets to see this, and he hears this. It was kind of like validation, I guess, you know? I'm like, oh, this is great, my brother. To see that, like, so, and then he, after that, he was kind of like, all right, yeah, he's doing the right thing.
Today on the show, actor Paul Vado talks about Hollywood, Las Vegas, and getting recognized. Stay close.
Hey, it's Paul Vado, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. And whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. I hope you guys enjoyed the show last week with comedian Esther Koo. I have to tell you, it was about cheating. It was about when you catch your boyfriend cheating. And I got to tell you, Paul, it was a very good episode. Did you hear it?
I absolutely did, and I learned a lot from it.
It was like, it was one of those stories that I was just, my mouth was like hanging open because I couldn't believe what she was saying. And she's sitting right across from me and she's obviously very, very truthful. And it was just such a twisty, windy, crazy story, not just about cheating, but a lot more than that.
Definitely. Yeah, this guy did sound like, I think you call it exactly, which he was a sociopath.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. This guy really got off on having his girlfriend inside his apartment.
Okay, but don't tell
sorry,
the ending.
Sorry.
Listen, yes, I want
right,
everybody
right.
to go back and listen to what happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so listen to Esther Koo's story from last week, but not today, because today I'm here with actor, writer, I can say writer.
You may say writer, improviser, yeah. writer.
All
yes,
those things.
All those things.
Paul Vado. Now, you are all those things, and I have most of the people on my show here are comedians, et cetera, writers and actors. But I'll tell you what they're not. I'll tell you what they're not. They're not cigar store owners.
Guaranteed.
That sets you apart.
It does, yes.
Because not only do you own a cigar store, but you operate out of like the oldest, most world famous casino in North America, Binion's.
Wow, that's true. That is absolutely true. It's a very iconic casino. It is where the World Series of Poker started. So we're inside Binion's Casino in classic downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. The oldest casino is the Golden Gate, who's also one of my customers because we wholesale cigars to a lot of the downtown casinos.
Not Golden Gate. Right.
Which was established in 1906.
That place is old school, man.
Old school, yeah. Old school. And a friend, Derek Stevens, who also owns, he bought Fitzgerald's and then converted it to the D. So there's the D, and then he's building a new casino called Circa, which comes out in 2020.
Okay, so you know Vegas because you split your time between L.A. and Vegas.
I do, yes, and I love it.
So, okay, tell us right now. Okay, we're going to get to your story, by the way. By the way, Paul's story is, it feels good to be recognized most of the time. That's the topic. Feels good to be recognized most of the time. So I'm anxious to hear a story, but I do want to ask about Vegas.
Yes.
Is there anywhere like slick to go in downtown Vegas, or is it all, you know, I'm talking down on Fremont Street mm-hmm. and all the mm-hmm. old places, which in their own way, they have a lot of charm and all this character and their like cachet. Is that the word?
That's exactly it.
I know,
cachet.
But they're so dirty in general, aren't they?
Yes, and it used to be, but not so much anymore. Like we used to have a downtown, there used to be a place called Western Hotel,
mm-hmm.
and half the lights were burned out, so half the time it said Western Ho, or Western Hot.
That's funny.
And that was dirty, as in, you'd go in there and there were pimps and hookers and drug dealers and drug
yeah.
users, and you could get a shot, but you could drink for cheap. Either if you're gambling, it's free, but it's never really free. Or you could get a drink, a beer and a shot for like $2.
$2, yeah.
So, but they've really cleaned it up. So downtown, Tony Shea, the gentleman that owns Zappos, bought Western Hotel and converted it as part of his Zappos thing downtown. But
is it like a shoe theme or?
No, that's a great question. No, it's just still just their Zappos where they hold events.
So and do you, when, like that. When people come into Vegas, obviously you tell them you should come to Binion's.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we're reopening the classic hotel, the Apache Hotel, which has been closed for about 9 years. So that's under construction.
The Apache Hotel? That sounds racist. What's that all about?
It does. You'll have to ask them about
Tell
that.
Tell me. What do you
but,
know?
But that was the hotel. So it's more of an homage to Old Vegas because that's what where Binion's Horseshoe, which used to be called I think it was Joe Brown's Horseshoe. And then when Benny Binion came from Texas.
His name was Benny Binion?
Benny Binion.
Say that five times fast.
Benny Binion. And he was the one that was instrumental in what happens now in casinos, which is he had something which was like unlimited betting. So you could bet as much as you wanted. Other casinos would limit you to how much you could bet.
Sure.
His thing was whatever your first bet is, that would be the maximum you could bet. So if you came in with $10,000 and your first bet was $10,000, that was your personal limit. Because nowadays you can only, minimum might be $5, maximum is $500. Mm-hmm. So you can't bet $5, $5, $5 and then when you think you're going to win, bet $1 million. No. You can only go up to 500.
I see.
Where
so there's limits.
So there's limits, but Benny allowed you to set your own limit. So if you wanted a $10,000 limit, even then back then in the 50s and 60s, you put in your first, you have right. to give him a crack at your money.
Right.
And then he's willing to let you take a crack at his money.
Wow. That was a bet right there.
Sure.
Yeah.
And people have come in and laid $1 million on black or red.
How
or,
interesting. So do you gamble?
Every day. No. that would be the owner. That would be the answer from Terry Cottle, who owns Binion's in Fort Queens. When I asked him, do you gamble? And he said every day because he owns the machine, so he gambles every day. I do not. I've really gotten into poker.
Yeah.
Which I consider more, it's not
There's
necessarily gambling. There's strategy to it.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. But I will gamble, say, on slots. My mom was just there. She just went back to Chicago a couple of days ago when I have family and friends in town.
Sure, it's
because
like
I have to. I'm not just going
to
sit there and not play.
No, of course. Mm-hmm. It's like the entertainment in Vegas. That's what you do.
But you cannot, that cannot be a lifestyle, and you'll never win.
Right, of course.
Yeah, it's
so depressing when you see people sitting there, right, hour after hour, no matter what they're, whether they're playing blackjack or at a machine. It's so time sucking.
Especially if they're trying to make the rent.
Yeah.
Or so it's purely for entertainment, and you don't play with money that you don't have.
Yeah.
For entertainment, and the casinos do want you to win. And they've done studies, and it's something like 1 out of 3 times because they want you to go there and they do want you to win because you'll remember the times that you've won and you'll tell your friends how much you won or how much money you didn't lose or, how you were given free shows and free room and free board and free food.
There's so much entertainment in Vegas now.
Yes.
It's just stunning.
Yes.
Okay, and so you own the cigar store.
Vato Cigars, which is located inside Binion's Casino in downtown Las Vegas.
With your wife.
With my wife and partner, Sarah Vato. And we actually do a cigar crawl. It's also a casino crawl. It doesn't have to be part with cigars.
You don't have to smoke a cigar each
No. place. But when we have big cigar conventions in town, we have all these cigar smokers that come down and we do a little cigar crawl. And we take them to all the classic casinos, the Golden Gate.
That have cigar rooms.
That have that are very cigar friendly or have cigar lounges or rooms. And they get, $5 drinks that pair with their cigars. But more importantly, they get the history of downtown Las Vegas. They get the history of the Golden Gate. They get the history of the
D. So do you have a tour guide or is it you?
It's Sarah Vato and myself.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
You guys probably have an awful lot of information at this point.
Yes, and then we'll have special guests like if you see our podcast or our video blog, it's Tex Whitson, who was there when they first started the World Series of Poker. My friend George Bell sometimes shows up, who's 7'8".
Wow.
So these are characters of the downtown Las Vegas that people appreciate meeting and know a lot of history or just very interesting
characters.
I feel
like the whole downtown area jumped the shark when they put that roof on it.
Benny Binion was always against it because he wanted the street to remain open.
Yeah, and like pure.
Yes. you could drive up and down, and the kids, you know, that grew up in Vegas that are now in their 60s and 70s would cruise. That was their cruising. They'd, you know, up and down the street to the plaza where the plaza station, Union Station, I think it was called. That's where the, you know, the trains would pull into. But the canopy, the Fremont Street Experience, is responsible for bringing millions of people downtown, and it's great for business.
No, I know, because now it's like an open air mall area.
Yes,
but I'm just saying it doesn't, like, you know, when you see that big cowboy, you know, with kicking the thing,
Vegas,
you know?
Vic.
Yeah, when you see that, you know, it's not like the night sky behind him. It's like this white canopy that is always changing, and it's so loud. It's quite.
It is.
I'm so old. Maybe I'm just old.
Loud, you're too old. No,
probably is true. I don't know.
But it's free entertainment. You come down, and there are bands and you know, Gary Sinise will perform there over Memorial Day. You know, every Memorial Day he's there.
Neat.
You know, so we get some somewhat famous bands.
Well, it's
and
totally
people.
Classic. I mean, it's a classic trip, you know. But they always say, like, the best day in Vegas is the day you get there, and the next best day in Vegas is the day you leave. But you know what you need to do when you leave Las Vegas is you need to meditate.
Because that's true. That
then,
is very true.
Yes, you can breathe a little bit, get back to normal. But actually, that's true for everybody, I feel like. And in my own life, I definitely need to take some time every day just to breathe in, breathe out, and take a little bit of time for myself. And I found this new meditation site called Headspace. You can get it on your phone, or it's also on the computer. And I'll tell you something. Headspace, you guys, it's your guide to health and happiness. And I don't say that lightly, Paul Votto. Maybe a good cigar in there somewhere. I'm not sure.
It's also very meditative.
But I got to tell you, it'll teach you the life-changing skills of meditation and mindfulness in just a few minutes a day. Literally, 2 minutes a day, 3 minutes a day. So it's not any big commitment. But it's something that really made a difference in my life. And meditation is rooted in tradition, but it's also backed by scientific research. For instance, 10 days of Headspace has reduced stress by 14%. That's a fact.
I absolutely believe that. I've recently gotten into yoga, as in like the past two and a half, three years.
Yeah, I read that about you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I started I haven't blogged on it yet, but I'm working on something Bad Om Re Yoga. Mm-hmm. And
Om Re.
Yes, it's spelled the same way, but it's pronounced Om Re.
Yeah, I get it. But
it's been life-changing. You know, I've lost 75 pounds. I've changed my lifestyle.
Yeah, you look good,
man. But part of it is, thank you, but part of it is also the meditative side. I never thought I'd be that guy that, you know, so I've pretty much become totally Hollywood in L.A. Very.
No, I'm telling you, it really works. And 10 days of Headspace reduces irritability by 27%, which I love that, because let me tell you something, between you and I can get irritable. I'm just saying. Listen, you guys, Headspace has hundreds of meditation sessions on everything from stress to sleep. There are guided exercises to help you add a touch of mindfulness to your daily activities like cooking and commuting and eating and more. So you can just listen to the guy talking, and his voice is very soothing, and it helps. It really helps. So start your journey towards a healthier, happier life by subscribing to Headspace, you guys. Sign up now at headspace.com/storyworthy, and you'll get a free month trial. Again, that's headspace.com/storyworthy, and you'll get a free month trial. You guys, start meditating today. Paul Votto, you know, and I know, so now they know.
That's perfect. I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna download it. I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, it's really quite soothing.
It's wonderful. You've been using it?
Yeah, I've been using it. I use it like 6 weeks now. Yes, I have. Because I don't know. It's like it teaches you to like come down, to just kind of like sink your body into your space. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but you just all of a sudden you like sink into your chair, mm-hmm. or sink, you know, just like relax, and you go body part to body part and breathe, you know, I don't know. It helps. It really does. And your mind will scatter for sure. Like mine, you can imagine. But it's okay because you keep coming back to the breath. You keep coming back, And then it makes a difference.
Well, that's very yoga, because that's what we've been, you know, practicing sometimes when we do yoga, is that whole, you know, rely on the breath. Always go back to your breath.
Yeah. Go back to your breath. There you go. All right. Listen, I'm anxious to hear your story, because we've been hearing about Vegas, which I am really interested in. I really am.
We could do a whole podcast on Vegas, and People just need to come. When they get downtown, so many people, once they get downtown, they realize that that's where they'd rather be.
Yeah.
And some people will stay on the Strip every day because they've already booked that, but then end up downtown.
It's more fun.
Day.
It's more
way
like,
more fun. It's less expensive.
Yeah,
and I think it's friendlier.
It's more contained. It's more. It's not so. You know, between those hotels, you know, between Paris and Caesars, it seems like it's across the street, but it's like a mile and a half.
It absolutely is. And God forbid you forget something in your room, it's going to take you an hour to go up to your room.
Absolutely.
Come back downtown. You can hit
such a maze.
Five different casinos in 10 minutes if you were just to walk in and walk out. But you can go from one casino to the next, and they're great. There's, you know, Binion's, Four Queens.
Yeah, they're all right there.
Golden Gate, Golden Nugget.
Sure.
The Fremont, even then the California.
Which is the one that has the, like, a big swimming pool. It's like almost like a shark tank.
It is a shark tank.
Is it the Golden Nugget?
The Golden Nugget.
Yeah.
It's voted one of the best pools in Las Vegas, not just in downtown, but in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So you swim through a shark tank. There's yes.
It's
unless you're like me and you weigh like 300 pounds, then and you go zooming down. That's when I was like 350.
The slide, yeah.
And almost hit the end of the wall, and poor kids were scattering. Yeah,
oh,
it was pretty.
Oh my God, that's so scary. But they didn't have a weight limit on it or anything.
No, they should have told me. I just went. They don't care.
That's really, really funny. Yeah. All right, listen, before we get to your story, I did want to remind everybody out there to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy, and also check out storyworthypodcast.com, you know, just because. That's all, just because. And if you get a chance, please head over to Apple Podcasts, because you know that I need that. It's a subscribe, it's a rate, it's a review. It's very important, Paul Votto. You know this.
I'm a subscriber.
You have a thank you.
Absolutely.
And you subscribe to my mailing list as well, because I saw that.
Yes, I do.
Thank you very
much.
And
I follow you on Twitter.
Oh, you're
and
so sweet.
Instagram.
And I follow both. You as well.
Thank
Isn't
you.
That nice?
I appreciate that.
You know what's nice sometimes when you just like something that somebody did, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not like anything more than, it doesn't have to be more subversive than that. It can just be like touching base. And it's kind of nice. It's like,
yes.
You look like, oh, that's nice. You know, Paul Votto liked my thing. Like, he appreciated that I did this show, or that I worked
Absolutely.
Hard on this thing, or even if I took a pretty picture. I don't know. I just think it's really sweet.
Absolutely. It's nice to be recognized.
Yeah, something about that.
I'm a fan of like Esther Koo, and because I think I'd heard her stories
great.
On Bobby Lee's.
Yeah.
One of Bobby Lee's
sure.
podcasts or Joey Diaz or something like that.
Sure.
So, yeah. But.
About 20 years ago, me and Bobby Lee went to Medieval Times together.
Like on a date?
No, it was with my boyfriend at the time, who ended up being my husband.
Was he
now my ex-husband, but we all went as a group, like eight comics. Maybe it was six of us, six comics.
You were both doing stand-up?
We were all doing stand-up at the same time, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Bobby, what? Oh my gosh, we did like 4 years of stand-up together, at least.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Bobby's
so
a comedic genius. I mean,
one of my favorite comics ever.
And I used to hang out with him because I would
Stunning.
Do Mad TV every now and then. And he was,
yeah.
So I was always, you know, I appreciated Bobby. And my friends would give him a hard time because, you know, they were improvisers from Chicago. Ike Barinholtz and Josh Myers.
Yeah.
You know, so they would always give Bobby a hard time because he was a stand-up and they were actors, they were improvisers. So I always would side with Bobby. But he and I, we took some trips down to Mexico, and maybe that's for a different podcast.
Yeah, probably. I know what you're saying. He's, he definitely a lot of, I'm not snorting anything, I am, but I am popping pills.
You are popping pills.
Yeah, well,
that's,
anyway.
Yes, yeah.
They're kind of known for that.
Really. I was on one of his adventures to Tijuana.
Yeah, I can imagine. He I've had adventures with him we do the Comedy Store in La Jolla.
That's where he came up. So he's like a rock star down there.
He's a rock star everywhere, man.
That's true. That's definitely.
But let's talk about you. Paul Votto, he's here right now, you guys. He's an actor and an improviser. And just like you said, you have appeared in hit shows like Mad TV, The Sarah Silverman Show, Cedric the Entertainer Presents, The Bold and the Beautiful. And when you're here in Los Angeles, you are on the Pacho. What is it called? The Pacho Hour of Power? The Poncho?
Pocho.
The Pocho Hour of Power.
The Pocho Hour of Power.
Fridays at 3 p.m. on 90.7 KPFK. What do you do on that?
Co-host. And it's something I've been doing since, you know, 15, 20 years.
Since I
got to L.A.
Yeah.
And it's a great group of guys. Lalo Alcaraz, who writes a comic, a cartoon named La Cucaracha or L.A. Cucaracha.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a syndicated cartoonist. And he's the host of the show, and I'm just one of the co-hosts. But if I'm here on a Friday,
right on.
I'll be on the Pocho Hour of Power. And Pocho is a person of Mexican descent who doesn't really speak Spanish.
I didn't know that was a Pocho. I never heard that in my whole life.
A Pocho, yes. So Mexicans would call you a Pocho.
All right, you guys, you can find Paul over on Twitter at Paul Vato and also at Vato Cigars. Wherever you are, folks, put your hands together for Paul Vato.
Yay. Let's give him time to clap.
Yay.
I came from Chicago. I moved out to LA in 2000 from Chicago. And my friends had already come out. We came out with a show called Touched by an Anglo. It was a show... It was a show that ran at the Second City ETC stage in Chicago with our group South Station. That was a Latino improv group that I put together in Chicago, and it was the first of its kind. Really, it was Latin. It was comedy with a Latin flavor. So it was supposed to be because the Latinos were a hot thing. And I think one of our shows was there's a Latin explosion in your pants or something like that, because it was everyone was talking about this Latin explosion, but yeah. which never came. But So we came out, and then we formed a new group called Barrio Speedwagon. So that was the show that we were doing here at Improv Olympic, Touched by an Anglo by Barrio Speedwagon. And there were just three of us, and then another member moved out. So it was Diane Herrera, Ava Rios, Joe Nunez, and myself. So we were Barrio Speedwagon. And we got managers right away. We started auditioning right away. Allison Jones, I think, used to love us. She'd bring us in for a lot of stuff. So it didn't take long and I just thought, I'm like, wow, this is too easy. 6 months later, I get cast in a campaign for Del Taco. And I'm like, wow, that wasn't that hard. Okay. So we're like, oh my God, I'm here 6 months and I've got this campaign. And we shot maybe, I can't remember, 7-8 commercials, and we would shoot a couple. And then a couple months later, we'd shoot two more. And basically my character was Luisito, and it was for Spanish television. It was Del Taco for Spanish television, but I was still very excited about it. And so I was Luisito, and so my cousin was like the good looking guy, and then I was kind of like the dummy. I was the dumb cousin who was always making mistakes. So it was always, oh, like, I Luisito, like, what'd you do this time? Mm-hmm. So like one commercial was he finds a genie lamp, and I'm like, frotala, frotala, rub it. So we rub it, the genie appears, and he's like, yeah, I give you gentlemen three wishes. And I'm like, we want two beautiful statuesque women, one for me, one for my cousin. So bam, these women appear on our laps. I guess now it's pretty sexist, but that's what Luisito wanted. That's what he got. And then I'm like, now Del Taco for everybody. Boom, all the Del Taco appears, everything, everything is all, And then I, because I'm so dumb, I guess, then I'm like, now I just want to be left alone. So everything disappears, leave me and my cousin alone, meaning the genie. But now the girls disappear, the food disappears, and he looks at me like, oh, that's right. We both went in to kiss the girls, and they disappear, so we end up kind of like almost kissing each other. So it was also maybe a little homophobic. I don't know. So this was that, but this worked back then, back in 2000. And so it was a whole thing of that. At one point, I'm married, and my hot, 18-year-old wife is walking down the stairs, and she hears me talking like, oh, my God, he's cheating on me, because I'm going like, oh, you are so delicious. It's obviously, then I'm talking to the Del Taco or drinking out of the soda, whatever it was. So that was Luisito. Now, I started, and I think they gave us gift cards, because I remember we would go into Del Taco to get food, and we're still like starving actors, so we're like, all right. And every time we'd walk in there, you could see that the help, which is mostly Latino, would start kind of whispering to each other, like, like this. And then finally, somebody would say, are you Luisito? And I'd be like, yeah, it's me. I'm Luisito. So needless to say, they wouldn't even charge us for food. I'd get free food, and I'd bring my friends. And so it was kind of nice to, you're starting to get recognized. I'm like, oh, wow. Then one day, I'm in Vegas, and I went to the airport to pick up my brother. And we were just visiting, I think that was before Matt TV, so I don't remember who was in that group, but we were hanging out with people like Jay Johnston and Mo Collins. But so this was, I know, during the Matt TV days. This was probably before that. So I don't know if I just happened to be meeting my brother out in Vegas, but either way, I go to the airport, I pick him up, we come back to the Mirage where we were staying, because we didn't know about downtown then, and the valet opens the door, and I see this look on his face, and he sees me, and he's like, And then he calls the other guy. He goes, "It's Luisito, it's Luisito." So my brother gets to see this, and he hears this. And my brother was already kind of questioning, like, "Well, did you do the right thing? You know, moving out here, selling your business in Chicago, in Geneva, Illinois, because I was in the gourmet ice cream coffee business, like selling all that, selling your cigar route, doing all that." And I was kind of telling him, like, "Yeah, you know, I'm enjoying it. It's fun." But then to get recognized, it was kind of like validation, I guess, you know. So I'm like, "Oh, this is great. My brother got to see that." Like, so, and then after that, he was kind of like, "All right, yeah, he's doing the right thing." And my brother's a corporate guy, a business guy, you know, has his master's and is his head of human resources and now owns, you know, temp agencies in Chicago. So he's always been the business guy, you know. And I guess I have too, but he's been more the corporate guy. Yeah. So it was nice to have him validated. And he told my mom, like, "Oh yeah, and the valet recognized him and this and that." So that was nice. So cut to, we're back in LA, and we're in the valley, and we go up to a bowling alley to go bowling. I don't even think it's even there anymore, and I don't remember which one it was, but I know it was a big bowling alley in the valley. And it was, you know, I'm sure myself and Joe Nunez and Ava and Diane and then whatever other actor friends from Improv Olympic, you know, we're all just hanging out. So we're in the valley. So I, unlike most people, they're like, "Oh no, I can't use the facilities. I have to use them at home." I'm kind of the opposite, because why would I foul up my bathroom? Let me foul up your bathroom. So if I'm out, I'm going, "By the way, before I leave, I might need to use your restroom." Just putting it out there now. So I'm like, "All right, let me go take care of business. We're in between games here." I walk in, and it's one of these stalls that has like a half door, and I don't know if that happens in women's restrooms or not. So it's, you know, of course you got like 2 feet under, and then the door is literally like up to your chest, so it doesn't go all the way to the top. And I guess it's just so people don't hang out in there, or maybe so they don't do drugs or whatever it is that they do in the valley. I don't know, you know. So it's very uncomfortable. I'm like, "Well, shoot, what?" I'm like, "Well, you know what, I'll just make it quick. I'm in and out, 20 minutes, whatever." So, but sure enough, as soon as I sit down, somebody walks in. So I'm like, "Oh no." So I have my hands on my legs, and I'm bent over, but the door really just hits me right around my eye line. So it's like, I can still kind of see over the door, and people can still see in. So my head's kind of down, and this Latino guy walks across. And, you know, when you kind of do a double take, when you notice someone or something, and so he kind of did a double take, and then even like backed up and looked in again, the stall. I'm like, "All right, maybe he's looking for a love connection. I don't know." So he doesn't say anything. I'm just like, "That was a little weird." He moves to the urinal next to the stall, and I can see his feet, and he starts going, and then all of a sudden he starts, "Luisito. Making a burrito, Luisito, making a burrito." And he must have studied improv, because I think he did it exactly 3 times. You know, the third time, and I'm just like, "Oh, I mean, I'm brown, but I think I was blushing. I was red. I was like, this is how you get recognized. This is..."
That is so gross. That
disgusting.
Is so crazy. Then when you were done and you went back into the bowling alley, did you see him?
No. I ran back to my group, and I don't think either he had already left or I didn't see him. I wasn't looking for him.
Yeah.
Like, "Hey."
And then that...
my autograph or
that
what?
That campaign ended.
The campaign ended.
How many did you do total then? Like 7?
I'd say 8. I think, because we shot...
That's great.
Every couple months, we did 2 more.
Yeah.
We would do 2 more. And they were all, you know, eventually like... Jumping the Shark, where we did something so crazy and then that was the end of the campaign, or they just went in a different direction. But it was always my cousin and Luisito. At one point there was a little person involved, because there was, you know, a small burrito, a medium burrito, and a large burrito. The large burrito.
Yeah.
And burro or burrito in Spanish means dummy.
Yeah.
So a burro, like a donkey.
So
or
pocho
an ass.
Means what again?
Pocho means someone of Mexican descent who's not very much in touch with their Mexican roots, or maybe doesn't
or
speaks broken Spanish. So in Mexico, they might call you a pocho or a gringo, and you're like, "I'm not a gringo. I'm not a white guy." They're like, "No, but you're not Mexican."
Yeah,
you know, and that's kind of
you're in the middle.
We're in the middle, but that's the same thing here, and that's why I think it's always been so hard for, at least that's the excuse that we use, which is we can never get a show because we would pitch like Barrio Speedwagon or Touched by an Angle. We'd pitch it to CBS or, you know, the Caucasian Broadcasting Services. And they would say like, no, you know, like have you tried Univision? But then you go to Univision, they're like, we don't buy shows for people that speak English. You know, we're strictly Spanish. So we were always kind of caught right in that middle.
What was Barrio Speedwagon? It was a sketch group.
Yeah. It was a sketch group that came out of Salsation in Chicago.
I see.
So, and Salsation, Tilda Del Toro and I kind of came up with the idea at the same time to do a Latino improv group. At the time, I think there was, you know, the Asian group.
So you had to be Latino to be in it?
No, but it was going to be mostly Latino because our coach wasn't Latino. And like Amar Arboleda, he was Colombian and Pakistani.
Mm-hmm. You know, so different people, yeah.
So you know, it would help just because you already, as soon as you sat down, you already knew where somebody was coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we all kind of shared that same cultural upbringing, whether you were Puerto Rican or Colombian or Mexican descent or Chicano. So, most of them all, you know, born in America. But
so now you get recognized, I bet, in Vegas as the cigar guy.
I'm kind of, yes, the mayor of downtown Las Vegas.
I totally can see you like that.
If you and I walk into any casino downtown, I will know somebody there.
I can see that. You're like an ambassador guy.
Yes.
Like you're very outgoing and friendly. I'm sure that's why you're good on the radio station.
Thank you. Yes, I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, Mad TV, that's all about improvising, of course. Yes. So you have to really be on your toes and listening. You're a good listener.
And I was never a cast member. I should have almost been, but they used me so much that sometimes at meetings they'd say like, well, let's put Votto in that. And then...
And you just get like the day rate?
I would get the day rate. And so I almost need to audition for stuff. They're just like, okay, put Votto in that.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, well, no, we can't put him in that because he was just on last week, you know, or something, you know.
But do you think it's bad to be typecast? Because I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing at all.
Yeah, because if you know who you are, then they don't have to, you know, you take the guesswork out, and that's really just what a casting director wants. They want to find out what their role is required. They want to find out what's required of the role and then just have like two or three people in mind, and then those people come in, as it were.
That's it.
And they don't want to think harder than that. So if you can tell them who you are.
It's less work for them.
Yeah.
And they know that you're going to show up.
Yeah.
You're going to do the work. You're going to be there early, and you're going to stay as late as they need to, and you're not going to.
Not make a lot of noise.
No.
Yeah.
Go in, do what you need to do. And I mean, it's a serious business.
It's a really serious business. And time is like so precious on these shoots. Everything mm-hmm. is so serious. And talent specifically is like the last thing plugged in. So the set that you're on, these people have been working on this for 9 months. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of coming, it's now coming down to this. And so they don't want to hear anything you have to say, but just do what you're supposed to do.
That's it. I learned a lot just even on Bold and the Beautiful. And I know like maybe sometimes soap operas get this, you know.
They get a bad rap just because they're so sappy.
Right. But the work ethic of those actors that are actually memorizing a script a day.
60 pages a day.
A day. And I think at the time.
Or 100 Bold, pages a day or something.
Well, Bold was shooting back to like two episodes a day.
Yeah.
And I think they were, you know, half an hour episodes, but they're still shooting 2 half-hour shows back to back on one day.
It's a lot.
where I learned to just, you know, as soon as they need me, I'm there, I do it. And not even one time I saw that when we came back the next day, a garbage can had been moved that was on the set, and I told somebody, I was like, hey, just so you guys know, that was over here yesterday. And the guy looked at me, he goes we don't really worry about that. He goes, just, you know, so
continuity. Kind of specificity isn't necessary on
At least at that time,
yeah.
No, because it was more about, we got to get these done.
Sure. And they were taping, not filming and all that. Now it's all digital, but...
Right.
Yeah, so it's a lot different. But it's kind of fun. I mean, it's all you know, show business, and it's nice to be recognized.
It is nice
to recognize. I could totally see you as a guy splitting your time between L.A. and Vegas.
I love it. People sometimes recognize me from my Netscape Navigator commercial. That's where I...
Oh, I'm not sure I know that one.
Where I photocopy my butt.
Oh, yes, I do know of course.
If you search Paul Votto, copy or busted.
Right. So basically, you go into an office and you sit on the copy machine, which is like that proverbial joke of taking your picture on a copy machine. Ask me if I've ever done that, Paul.
Have you ever done that?
I've done that.
Have you really?
I have done that, yeah. And it was, you know, I did it and it was super funny and the picture was super funny. Now, your situation in this commercial, I didn't see what was coming, but then what happens is you smash through the glass. It's very funny.
Yes. So that, and it's one of those things where after people see it and then they meet me, they're like, yeah, wow, that is you.
Yeah, it's super funny.
But online, you know, that's where I water off a duck's back with comments, because this was 12, 15 years ago where,
sure.
I mean, just the horrible things that people were saying then, you know, it's like, oh, look at Americans are so dumb and lazy.
Yeah.
Like, look at that. Who would, you know, this guy's eating too many donuts. You know, it was just, so now that none of that.
Well, I'm excited to come to Vegas and hang out with you. I'm going to definitely, next time I go to Vegas, I'm going to definitely look you up.
I'm your guy. I will show you around.
I would love that.
And
we'll have like a 2 or 3 hour date. Like we'll do like, you know, a meal.
Yes. Yeah, and we have great restaurants downtown.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of entertainment, a lot of great restaurants mm-hmm. in Vegas now. It really is. But for me, it's like I'm always waiting to do business there because I do enough that it satiates me, you know. And I had a bad experience in Vegas. I lost a lot of money in real estate there. And so I just, you know, haven't really been back in these couple of years. But,
well, let's start anew.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you want to do a show out there, let me know.
I'd love to. I'd love to do my one-woman show there very much. Okay, we're talking right after this.
That's great. We'll consider it done.
All right, listen, you guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Tweet Paul over there on Twitter at Paul Votto and let him know that you liked his story, and then tweet me over there as well at Storyworthy. And I want to thank all the sponsors on the show today. Really, you guys, when you check out my sponsors, you're supporting me and my child. Thank you so much. And on behalf of the very talented Paul Votto, thank you so much. You're such a great personality.
It is my absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for
having me. Thanks, man.
So fun.
Thanks. My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie still has the same top pros and reviews you've counted on for more than 20 years, only now you'll also get access to all the tools you need to make your home a happy place. Inside, outside, big or small, Angie helps you find the right solution for whatever you need done, all from your phone. It's simple to find upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. You can even search pricing guides to see what others paid for similar jobs and easily compare quotes from top local pros to make sure you're getting a fair price. From lawn care to repairing the AC to the project of your dreams, Angie has your home projects handled from start to finish. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, they'll cover your project up to the full purchase price plus limited damage protection with their happiness guarantee. Make your home an Angie home. Check out Angie.com today. And for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.